welcome to the What I Wish I'd Known podcast, brought to you by, I'm just going to say it, 330-something Instagram. Sharing the things we wish we'd known. I'm Jo, Labella Loves.
I'm Jess from the Fat Bunny One.
And I'm Lauren from the Parenting Chapter. And
through our weekly podcast, we're going to tackle a new topic each week, sometimes with the help of a guest, not today. And together we're going to try and impart some of our life lessons and the things that we really wish we had known. We think it's really important to start every single episode with the caveat that we are not experts. But if there's anything that we say, that, and particularly this episode is going to be quite a sensitive one, I think I'm going to find it difficult. I think we're all going to struggle a little bit. So please go and speak to somebody. If anything that we've said triggers anything with you, particularly on a mental health front, go and talk to your GP or look at the resources in the show notes. Because today we are talking about grief, and it's a big one.
It is a big one, isn't it? And I'm going to put my hand up now and say that obviously I've experienced, I say pockets of it, but it's, touch wood, not something recently that I have experienced. And so really this is going to be me talking to you guys and finding out what grief has looked like for both of you, what it currently looks like, and ultimately what you wish you'd have known, which is it's a funny old concept, because you don't wish you do know, bluntly, and let's be honest, but unfortunately life...
But we do all die.
We do.
I think grief, the assumption is you're talking just about death.
Agreed.
Grief is the loss of anything. And I think you can grieve, you know, Lauren, you're recently going through a divorce, that you can grieve your marriage. You
absolutely
can grieve the loss of a relationship, the loss of a friendship.
I'm just about to change a counsellor. I've already started the disconnection process with her. But it's a grief-like
grief is a loss, isn't it? It's the feeling that comes following a loss of something. Listen to me, dictionary. I feel. By the way, I didn't Google the definition of
this. Did you Google this week?
No, I didn't Google this week. And I'm just really impressed with how professional I sounded just then. I do shock myself sometimes.
Self-certification.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? But it is the loss of something. And I think when people talk about grief and grieving, it is very much associated with death, which is natural because that's the most final loss you can have.
It is, yes.
But I think one of the things that people feel, and I probably didn't really realise that now, maybe this is my what I wish I'd known, is that I've experienced grief more than I thought I had because I've lost other things. And that's one of the things I guess I wish I had known. If you follow me on social media, you would have known that recently I lost my grandmother. I don't even know what day it is today, on the 1st of February. It was such a weird day because it was the day that I launched my first online coaching challenge. Really exciting in the morning, and then hours later it was the most devastating day. And I was just explaining to the girls that actually it was really strange time, because in the weirdest way it was the most beautiful way something so awful could happen, because we all got to be with her at her bedside, which you're watching movies and stuff or hear about and you never really think it's a thing. You're like, oh, this is really strange, but actually it was the most beautiful thing, and it was very much in her style. Like, literally we had a doctor come round earlier in the day and unfortunately give us the news that we only had a few hours left with her, and we thought we probably had days. We knew she's been sick for a long time, a good couple of years. But yes, he said a few hours, and this was really early in the day, and we all this sounds so weird. All my family came round, my immediate family, that were really close, so my aunt, my uncle, my cousins and my brother and my mum and stuff, and it was a waiting game. We all got to spend individual time with her on our own. We, nice. You know, went in together as a group. She wasn't necessarily responding, but you just got to talk to her. And we said
have
a lot of...
final
yeah,
goodbye.
And a lot of it was thank you, which I think is such a beautiful thing. Like, a lot of what I felt to say to her and listen to other family members say was just thank you for being my grandma, thank you for being my mum, and it was lovely. And we ordered loads of food because we all had to eat. We had to force ourselves to eat, you know, no one wants to, but we were there all day and no one was going to leave. We knew today was the day, so like nobody wanted to leave. And actually our food took 3 hours to come, no joke. And what was strange is my grandmother always served everybody. So when you went to her house, she made sure you ate. She made sure. And so she held on all day. We didn't get our takeaway for 3 hours, had to order something. And all this, she was still here, like still with us. And it wasn't until everybody had eaten, and probably about an hour after we'd eaten, we all kind of, it felt really natural to all just go in there, which we hadn't done throughout the day. And she was religious, my family a Christian, so the pastor of her church was there and he came in and read her favourite scripture from the Bible. It was lovely. And at that moment, that's when she left us. And I look back and I'm like, it's almost like she waited for us all to eat. Like she, because, you know, the doctor said a few hours and this was nearly 12 hours later that she was like, and it was almost like in her mind, she was like, God, let me just let them eat. And then when they come in and we're all together, because she was very much about family.
Yeah.
And I don't think it hit me that she had gone. I went into autopilot. My mum took it really badly. My granddad, bless him. It was awful. They've been together 60 years. And it was a really emotional moment. And I kind of was okay. And that was the Friday night. I didn't actually leave my grandparents' house until the Tuesday because I just wanted to be there. And when I left and I got in my car, this just overwhelming... I can't even tell you what it is.
It's a grief, isn't it?
Well, it was a grief, yeah.
A wave of emotion.
Absolute huge wave hit me and I had to pull over and be sick. And I just cried. So I cried like, you know, this hard, like...
Comes from your stomach.
Yeah, raw. And I was like, where has this come from? I've been fine. Like, I was okay. I was really at peace because she was at peace because, you know, watching someone suffer is really tough. I was like, I'm at peace with this. I'm totally okay. And then I got in the car and I was like, what the hell? And I shared it on social and people, not that particular piece of it, but people were so incredible with their how to expect grief to come. And everybody, I don't know anyone who hasn't said it comes in waves.
Yes.
Everybody keeps saying it comes in waves. And then once I kind of knew that, I accepted that I might be fine now and 5 minutes from now, I might just be completely overwhelmed and suddenly be like, what is this feeling that I'm feeling? And it's so hard. And I think you grieve differently for different people. I lost my friend Emma in October. Mm. She was 29. And that grief is almost an angry grief. Like, I'm angry. Yeah.
It's different forms. And I think it's understanding. It's a process. And everything in life we try to control. But it's almost like this sort of being that's just comes into your body and takes over, and one, you know, and there's like a little trigger and one day you'll be cool with it and it could be a piece of music or a smell or just something, and literally it's like the kitchen sink comes back to you and eventually that, this is the way I describe it, my mum, bless her, when my nan passed, but eventually that kitchen sink full of memories and anger and resentment just suddenly it gets a little bit smaller and ultimately what you're left with then is just, that's a really nice memory and I might have a tear, but it kind of matures, if that makes sense, grief, I think. But of course, that's if, and I always say this to people, you deal with it at the time, which not everybody does, do they? And I was going to ask you, Jo, about if that's okay, your experiences of grief.
Yeah, I lost my father very suddenly. So that's why it was really interesting to hear your experience, Jess. And I was going to say, whether we feel that having time and just different stages of life, because, you know, having time to say goodbye and knowing it's coming can make it exceptionally hard, but also sometimes people find that easier. I mean, I don't know.
I think there's peace that comes with being able to say what you want to say, because I think when someone passes suddenly, your immediate thing is, I wish I had said, well, did they know?
And having,
I
think, a regret.
That's, in both Emma and my grandma, Emma had breast cancer. My grandmother actually had her leg amputated 2 years ago. And rock on, 87. She was like rocking her one leg. She was incredible, but was obviously quite poorly following that. But they were both slow. So I had an opportunity to tell them both how much I love them. So I knew in my heart when they passed, they knew that. And when somebody dies suddenly, I think you're robbed of that.
You are, yes.
Opportunity.
And I think that's been really hard to deal with. So actually coming up to the anniversary of my dad's death in a couple of weeks' time. Actually, when this airs, it's probably about that time, and it will have been 11 years, I think. 2007? No, 12 years.
Yeah.
12 years. And so I didn't feel the feelings at the time. Mm. And I didn't do the seven stages of grief or whatever they are. I didn't do any of it.
I don't even know what that is.
No, you know, like denial,
right,
anger.
Okay,
blah, there's a
process.
Well,
people say
someone's written a book. And a lot of people who do experience grief can relate to that process, apparently.
Right,
and it can be very comforting for people to read this book. And a lot of people at the time were saying, you know, read that book. And I think it's not that I'm stuck in denial, because I'm very aware that my father is no longer with us. But I haven't properly grieved at all. And part of that is because it was very, very sudden. He had a stomach ulcer, it burst, and he was dead within a few hours. He, and with that, I won't go the ins and outs of things, but I was at law school at the time, and it's sort of that university thing where you don't see your parents for kind of like a term or so, yeah. And actually my parents were particularly rubbish, and I wasn't one of these people. I didn't have parents who come up ever. So I'd moved from Birmingham. So I've been in Birmingham 3 years. I think they came up once, maybe. Then I was at law school in Guildford for a year, and yeah, I think they dropped me off. And then,
see you, Joe.
That's it.
Hi, Joe.
Perfectly loving parents, but like, it just wasn't part of what we did. And they arranged to come up and see me. And so I'd seen him the day before he died. So we'd gone out for Sunday lunch. And then I got a call on the Monday saying, actually from my brother, saying, Dad's died, you've got to come home. And I misheard. I thought he said Granddad. I still had all four of my grandparents. Yeah, so it was a complete and utter shock. And so that, obviously, I stayed in that for a while. But also it became, I immediately, it was similar to what you said, Jess, that about going into autopilot and yes, also looking absolutely. After everybody else. Yeah. So I then immediately had to look after my mum. My mum had been with my dad 35, 37, quite a long time, years. She basically just been with my dad. And so the night my dad died, I found her hacking her wrists apart with a bread knife. So
oh, my God.
Don't leave me another one. So I obviously got really angry with my mum, but then I just didn't let her out of my sight.
Of course.
I slept in the bed with her. I've got an older brother who was brilliant, but, I mean, he's a boy and he would just go off and deal with it himself and go to the pub and, do all the...
My brother's exactly
that
the
kind
same.
Of thing, whereas I really felt tied to my mother and the responsibility.
And that's maternal instinct as well.
My relationship with my mum, I think my brother was closer to my dad and I was, was at the time closer to my mum. And yeah, I just felt this enormous weight of responsibility if Dad would want me to look after her. And that was that. And if I sort of showed, and I'm not blaming my mum, there were points in time in the last 11, 12 years that I have blamed my mum for this, but God, we're all human, aren't we? But if I ever showed a sort of a sprinkling of emotion, it sent my mum into a bad place and a spiral that it took a long time to get her out of. So I was like, be strong. Dad would want me to be strong. And so I didn't grieve. No, I didn't grieve.
And you held it all in. Because,
I held it all in. Yeah. And that's because I had to. And also I'm a strong believer in serendipity. And I was with a boyfriend at university whose father had been given 6 months to live, but actually outlived that by about, he had cancer, outlived that by about 4 years.
Wow.
And when I met him, he was like, my dad's prognosis is 6 months, but that was like 2 years ago. So we were together, and during that time, his dad did pass. But he, I have to give a big shout out to the Royal Marsden here. My boyfriend at the time's dad was like, sign me up to everything. I'm going, just experiment the hell out of me.
Amazing.
And whatever they were doing, did obviously prolong his life. And they had a long time to say goodbye. So it was interesting, but it was really interesting observing that family as part of it, but away, and seeing that actually it's still a shock when it happens, particularly if they are young.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking like super young, but younger than you expect. But what really helped me, or maybe it sort of stunted my grief, I don't know, is seeing how well they processed it and how life did go on and how they said things like, because they'd had a long time to deal with it. But, my boyfriend at the time used to say, I'm very grateful that I had 23 years with my dad. Mm. Some people never, ever know their fathers.
Absolutely.
Some people have awful fathers. Mm. Some people, they shouldn't even be fathers. I had an absolutely stellar father and I'm proud and privileged to have had him for 23 years. So this really stuck with me and I saw it. So I had the phone call, my dad died, and I have a friend of mine, because I was in shock, drove me home. I was living in Guildford, drove me back to Bath. And even on that car journey, I remember calling a friend and talking to a friend and saying those words of, I am so privileged to have had my dad for 23 years. He was the best father on earth. And obviously everyone thinks that. Not everybody.
Not
exactly.
No, not at all.
And that is something that really stuck with me. So it almost did kind of put a bit of a weird stopper on my grief. And then I'd rationalised it before I'd had the emotional, you know.
You almost sat in it and felt it. You just rationalised and went, right, on we go. As life suggests that you should. It's as you were saying earlier, Jo, right, well, life goes on. That bloody phrase I hate. Yes, it does go on, but ultimately I think you sometimes always say you have to sit in the shit, don't you, and feel it. And that does come at different points.
And I wish I'd sat in it and felt the feelings. I think we say feel those feels. We say it every episode. Feel those feels for a little bit longer and allow myself and not felt that I had to be somewhere else, like just doing what you did, just being like, yes, there's a certain amount that's in shock and automated, but just feeling those feelings is perfectly fine. Because now when it hits me, because the grief, like you say, it never really goes away. No. It's a cliche, but you learn to live with it. But it does slightly lessen in time in terms of like the frequency that I think about it, but it's always sort of there. But when it hits me, and it can be a smell, it can be a catch of a person who looks like a bit them, or some sort of light, or, you know, it doesn't even need to be a thing that triggers it. It can be just something that pops up into your head.
And you can probably look at their picture and it's, yeah, that's dad, but that's something that
emotional
sort of plays into them.
Sometimes.
A sharp shock, isn't it, to the system. And you go, oh my gosh, yeah, I remember, sorry to jump in, but I remember when I was trying on my wedding dresses, and it probably was my nan going, don't do it, love. But I remember trying it on and she was quite a stern lady. But this piece of music came on, which was her song, and then the curtain just kept, and it probably was a bit of wind, but it was just
you feel their presence.
You feel it, don't you? And you know, and looked at my mum and she was just in pieces. And but yet she'll equally have pictures of my nan all around and she's quite happy with them sitting there. So it's funny, isn't it, what impacts you?
I had it last week. I had the lovely Nick, this girl can organise, come over to my house and help with my decluttering.
I saw how many shoes you had, Jo.
Yeah, I did.
I was like, when she said I met this level, I was like, are they Jo's shoes? Jo has so many shoes.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Although I'm like obsessed with your understair storage.
Oh, isn't it good?
Yeah.
Isn't it good? She showed all my drawers. I was like, oh God, this feels really vulnerable. But there was this old laptop case sat there and it was all dusty and shit. And it had I basically use it as a storage for like some of my paperwork. And she was like, we're going through the paperwork. And she was like, so that can go, you know, donate that, throw that. And she looked at me and she was like, that's got some sort of sentimental value. And I was crying my eyes out looking at this dusty old laptop case. And it was my dad. And what I was feeling was he'd given me that at university. And I never used it, but he'd given it to me because he was like, and he was really proud of it. It was actually, you know, probably quite expensive. It was leather, it was a label, blah, 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 blah. But he wanted me to have something to carry my laptop in and it'd be safe and blah, 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 blah. But obviously I didn't. I just chucked it in my bag and off I went and thought that this was the most ridiculous thing and it was ugly and like, oh my God. So, and then because when I then looked at it, I felt so much guilt. Because we all treat our parents like that at times, of like, oh, that's so awful. They bought you a bad backpack or a bad pair of trainers or like something naff.
But you do realise those parents now.
Yeah, I know. Now my parent is
We are those parents now, but who are going to buy the dodgy backpacks.
There was real care and love that he had put into that, and I had absolutely, like, disrespect, not into his face, but, you know, I never used it. I'd never really appreciated it. And therefore this, and I'd had a pang of this, like, enormous guilt over this laptop case. I went to go throw it away a few years ago and I couldn't, so I hid it in a cupboard, which was covered in dust and like spiders and all sorts. And then I just had this really weird out-of-body experience where Nick is sat next to me and like being really lovely, and we're both looking and talking about this laptop case, and I'm like, this is the most bizarre thing. I was like, it's not my dad. That is not my dad.
But it represents something,
doesn't it? But also, like, let's let go of the guilt. Like, would he really want me sat here crying on my living room floor about a dusty old laptop case that he thought was going to help? It didn't. It's now, I mean, God, I went to university like a million years ago. Like, why, you know? And then it just helped me let go of it. But it's so that, I mean, I waffled on about that. But like, basically, grief can kind of really hit you and it can be the weirdest things. Like, people think it's going to be like these sentimental items, like these really like big
jewelry
value time.
Or no.
it's a bloody laptop case, which is so ridiculous.
And the thing I wanted to ask you guys, because some people were a bit odd about this, and I don't know where this has come from, maybe because I went to church school, I don't know, but do you guys believe that when people pass that they are still around in some form? And we're not talking, you know, they're a ghost in the corner, but do you have that belief? Were you very much, it's done, there's no afterlife, they're not around us? Because my personal opinion is I just think that people say they're looking down on you. I genuinely believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a hippie, I'm not, you know, overly religious, but I've just got this real strong sense of it. And I've always had it as a child, and almost like a sixth sense, a feeling of somebody in a room.
That normally means you're quite connected to your intuition.
Yes. And I am, and I've had, hilarious story where I used to say this proper geezer, black cab driver, and he was like, I don't believe in any of that old shit. So anyway, my mum and dad live in the countryside, and there's a church opposite, and you had to go through this graveyard to get to the church, which coincidentally was opposite a pub, which is all a bit messed up, but that's where I was going, not the church. And it had two parts, this graveyard. It had a part that was in the sun and a part that was darker. So I was like, oh, this is a bit spooky. I wonder if, you know, anyone's sort of around. This is my belief. Anyway, we walked into this graveyard and both of us looked at each other, and all of a sudden we went, oh, we can't breathe. And we literally couldn't. It was like someone was sucking the life out of us, and both of us had it. And we ran through, and I was like, there's clearly people
an energy,
in there's an energy. There's things in here, and I've always believed it throughout. But since then, what do you guys believe?
Did you end up at the pub?
Yeah, and then we were trading off that story. We're like, oh my God, there were people in there who obviously hadn't passed properly. And I'm like, mate, you're a black cab driver. You don't believe in that stuff. But no, I genuinely have this very strong sense that, you know, and they're not around you all the time, but that person can be there at times.
I think I definitely believe in energies. I grew up in church, so I think there's an idea that you are, you know, watched over, and they've gone to heaven, and they've passed through to paradise. They've passed through to meet their maker, so to speak. Mm. But even when, so for example, when my friend Emma passed away, she loved bees. We used to call her Queen Bee. I've done, you know, made pouches to raise money for breast cancer charities in her honour. And so every time I see a bee, that reminds me of her. And I was in Manchester, and I was feeling really guilty about being in Manchester, and it wasn't a very nice moment for me, and I was thinking about her a lot. And I went into this shop, and I know bees are massive in Manchester, but they had this whole display of these really beautiful brooches and keyrings that were all bees. And for me, I bought, my friend was like, what are you doing at like 1 o'clock in the morning? I'm in this corner shop buying like 75 like gold diamante brooches of bees. But I bought them, and I was like, I just felt like it was her saying to me,
hey,
it's okay.
Yeah,
okay. And every time I've seen a bee, it tends to be when I think of her, or, you know, when something happens, and even little things like I wanted to go and see her parents, and I arranged to go and see her parents, and on my way, she was like Beyonce's biggest fan, and on my way there, Beyonce came on the radio, and when I got there, I said, oh my gosh, Beyonce just came on the radio, and I felt like it was her saying to me, thank you for going to see my parents.
Yeah.
And then her brother said, it's so weird you say that, because actually a few people who have come to visit have said on the way there, or like they've heard Beyonce, and I think it's her way of saying thank you for going to see them, like please keep going to see them. And so I do think people watch over you. I do believe in that. I don't think they like follow you around.
Yeah,
but
that's what I struggled with just after my dad died. Sorry to interrupt you there. I struggled with just after my dad died, because I also have been brought up in a religious background and have faith. And there was a sort of an interesting moment, you know, like that was an interesting time where I'm like, is he watching me go to the loo? Have sex, like get drunk, like, you know, and like it genuinely did feel weird. And I was like, I remember at the time I was like, don't we go and have sex right now? Like, this is all a bit weird.
Yeah.
And I got over that, obviously. But I do really feel, so since then I've lost, you know, pretty much all of my grandparents, bar one, who's 100, whoop, whoop, represent. You know, so I have experienced more loss since then. And I do believe their energies are still there. With my dad, I think it's different. So, I believe that exactly what you've said, Jess. I still feel it. But with my dad, I guess because it's so close, I less feel him as a presence, but I feel him from within.
And so he's in your heart.
Because I know him, and I, you know, like what I was saying about, I was lucky enough to know my dad and have my dad. Like, I know what he would think about all my life decisions. So it's almost like he's part, or he's become part of me.
Yeah.
And that sounds a little bit weird and very hard to just articulate. But he's now like part of my fibre. Like his memory of him is within me. So he kind of lives on in that way rather than an omnipresent looking down. I don't see him like that. Maybe my grannies and grandparents, like, you know, they're a bit more like watching over and some. I'm waving my arms around, like watching
over. I forget that people can't see us.
It's like they weren't in here on the sex episode. That would have just been embarrassing. Sitting there going, God, this is what I'm raised.
I think my people dad live within you, don't they?
And because he, you know, he had very strong morals and he had very, you know, we know what I was lucky enough to really know him. He's there. Yeah. He's there. He's not actually gone anywhere. It feels like I'm at university. I'm not at university, but like if it's the same feeling of like I'm at university and I haven't rung my parents for a while and haven't just, I just haven't. And sometimes that is quite, can be quite a shock to the system because I just think, oh, I'll ring dad and say that, oh no, I can't ring dad. But it's that same feeling of like just having not been in communication for a while, but they're actually
but
still
they're there.
Yeah. So this is very odd.
It's how people, I think, move forward, isn't it? And I think it's, you know, I think one of the biggest fears I would have in a similar situation, Joe, or both of you, is the fear that, you know, my memory is terrible.
It's forgetting
and not being able to feel those memories and piecing.
Pictures.
Is pictures the key to this? Is that what you say?
Taking pictures has been, like, one of my cousins takes like a million pictures all the time. And for years, we've always been like, oh my gosh, put your camera away, Faye, put your camera away. And honestly, she has got some absolute gem pictures of my grandma that we never thought about. And it's now we're all suddenly going, oh, we're so glad you never put your camera down. Mm. And I've taken like little pictures of, there was a day where Isabella grabbed my grandma's hand and they were holding hands and I took a picture. And now that picture is like treasure. Like it is just so important. And I definitely say to people, take more photos. It's one of the reasons why I preach about not caring what you look like. And you know, don't ever look back and think I never took pictures because I was so worried about what I looked like in that picture.
Yes,
and then you
agreed.
Don't have that piece of treasure to hold on to.
I completely agree, but I actually only have about 3 pictures of my dad. He just was one of those who doesn't get in photographs. Yeah. But we have a photograph from the weekend before he died. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I could literally sit here and tell you all these really weird things that happened in the week before he died, including like the dog running away, which meant he missed his flight to Geneva, which meant he spent a whole day with my mum. He saw my brother the weekend before he died, which he doesn't normally see. He saw me. Anyway, I could go on about it. But anyway, there's a whole load of things that happened that, and obviously we didn't know he was going to die.
Of course.
It was very, very, very odd. But no, we don't have many photos, and I don't. There's not a bit of me that actually. I mean, I really treasure the ones I do have, and it's probably a handful less. But I don't know. You don't forget. It's my dad. Like you just don't.
I think
it's your dad.
Isabella and Sophia, because Sophia obviously knows her, and. Actually, you know, Sophia knew my friend Emma and took that quite well. And so I just assumed she would take this quite well, forgetting that actually this person is far closer to her. Mm. And so she has been very confused by it this time round. And last week didn't go to school because the first couple of days she was just so upset. And then would sleep constantly. Like, it was so bizarre. It was really weird to see that in a child.
Yes.
And then she said to me, I know Grandma's gone to the Grove. And I was like, the Grove? And she said, yeah, she's gone to the Grove. And I was like, what do you mean the Grove? And she went, you know that place with the big stones with the writing on? And I mean, you mean the grave? And she actually hasn't yet at all. We've not had the funeral yet. But I was like, no, you mean grave? And she said, no, it said Grove because I Googled it. And I was like, what did you Google?
Oh,
and she said, my grandma's died. Where's she gone? And it said grave.
Shit,
and I said, why didn't you just ask me? And she was like, well, I know she's in heaven, but I wanted to know where else she went. And she couldn't compute, because naturally I've always just said they've gone to heaven. And we had a family dog who passed, and Sophia was like, do you think she's with Nigel? And I said, yeah, I think she is. And then she said, you know, I think now that she's gone to heaven, she'll have 2 legs now and she can walk and she can do all the things that she wants to do. And the innocence of it is so beautiful, and I think that's very much helped me in kind of processing the simplicity of it. I think we complicate it with, oh my gosh, I've got to remember this, and I've got to feel this, and I've got to do this, and actually Sophia's just going, oh, I'm just really glad because she's probably really happy now. She's and then she says, dog. I do miss her, but she's with the dog and that's fine and we'll see her another day. Like, and that, I've kind of gone, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, like, it's that's nice.
And I think there's a thing for peace, isn't there? There's something to be said. And I'm, I think, to sort of summarise on behalf of both of you, I think there's a bit around... when somebody is, and I guess it could be slightly different if somebody dies all of a sudden, but I think there's a bit around the mind overtakes the body, especially in your grandma's case. And I've seen it twice where their body could be failing and they've got hours, but actually their mind goes, no, I'm going to control this.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it my way and how I want, you know. And I think the mind is a powerful influence. And I think we're all in a rush, but when it comes to grief, it's a process. It takes time.
You've got to allow it.
You've got to allow it.
And there's no shame in doing it differently to somebody else. I think we look at it, especially when you watch it on telly, you expect have an expectation of what you might feel or it might be like. Mm. And it's, I know there's a hashtag, is it grief is weird or keep grief weird? Mm. Or I can't remember the guy who wrote it, but it was about the fact that it's different for everyone. It's weird, yes. You know. It's and that's okay.
Yes.
It's not going to be the same. And I really struggled with when my grandma passed. Is oh my gosh, I'm grieving for two people now because I'm still feeling the loss of my friend, and now I've got this other loss, which is someone closer to me. So do I feel more grief for her than I do for? Am I replacing that grief with somebody? It was so confusing.
Is it time to stop grieving that person because I've got to replace it?
Because now I've got another lot of grief to deal with.
And then you feel guilt because you're not thinking about that one.
It was just so confusing and so hard. And actually, again, Instagram has been just such an incredible network of support of people just going, I've been there, I've lost this person
just
and that
let
person.
It be.
Let it be, ride the wave. Your grief won't look like someone else's.
Yeah.
You might be able to look at photos. Your mum might not be able to look at photos. Mm. You might be able to call her name. Your aunt might not be. There's going to be different people will grieve things differently and process it differently. So if your grief feels different to someone else's or doesn't look like your siblings or anyone or a friend, that's totally
it's not less or
okay.
Worse, better, is it?
Yeah. I think you think, oh, am I not feeling as hurt as this person because they're crying more than I am? Or...
Yeah. I mean, I didn't cry at all. And it's like barely. And that's been a really weird thing for me to, you know, sometimes if I find myself crying now about something, and I'm not a big crier, but if I find myself crying about something now, I'm like, I'm crying more about Desperate Housewives or whatever it is, then, or no, Call the Midwife all used to get me. I'm crying more on Call the Bloody Midwife than I did my dad dying, and I'm like, what is wrong with me as a human?
Yeah, but that, it's just
not
different.
It's not like that.
It's just different, and I think what I wish I had known is that grief isn't just about death. Grieving friendships that of people you're not talking to, grieving partner, grieving
it's multifaceted.
And that's okay. But ultimately, what I wish I'd known is that my grief might look different to yours, and that's okay.
And Jo, what do you wish you'd have known?
That you're not going to necessarily do it at the pace you think you're going to do it. And it's taken me, you know, a lot longer. Like I said, I think I've barely started. But that's all right. That's okay. These things are there.
Thank you so much for sharing. No, I'm watching both of you thinking, hold it together, hold it together. That was, I don't want to use the word incredible. It was a big one, but it's so touching to hear it from two what are very strong women sharing what are very vulnerable moments and understanding, you know, how then life does move on. And I hate that phrase, as I just mentioned, but, you know, ultimately recognising you're not quite there yet. And that's okay, I think, with anything in life. So thank you.
Thank you. Now, shall we do, to lighten it, shall we leave
let's lighten the
some
mood.
Listener wisdom. Our lovely listeners.
Our lovely listener, what they wish they had known.
Hope you're not dirty, just to communicate.
I know, I'm just, I feel
dirty.
Like I don't want to read them because I don't want to, like, choose. I just want to read them.
Just
read
them.
Yeah.
Read them.
So I'm just going to read them.
Just choose. Don't pick, just choose.
Just
choose.
Know what I mean.
You know, just go for it.
So Emma Whitcomb has said, I wish I'd known that being an adult sucks balls.
What, literally? Or?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I definitely don't.
I don't.
I get what
it
you mean.
Does,
it's adulting is hard. Like all the things that we thought our parents were really boring and now we are those people.
We have to do one on being a parent, one of these episodes. But God, don't you just like appreciate how... Like, oh my God, like they had a hard
hard journey. They did. I said to my mum the other day, I gave Sophia a look and she like stopped doing what she was doing. She was being quite naughty. And I went over to my mum. I was like, is that the power you felt when you used to do that to me? And she was like, yeah, it's amazing, right?
I
was
like, I bet she can still do it now. Yeah. I can't change.
She was like, isn't it great? I was like, yes, I know why you did it all the time now. That felt amazing.
Laura when it works.
Yeah, it does work. Laura Fletcher, 1975, said, what I wish I had known is that I am worthy and I always have been.
Yes, girl.
Yeah. And I think girl. The always have been is really key there, isn't it? Because we're all sitting here as, without sounding mickey-takey, enlightened individuals, but actually sometimes you can look back and think, well, actually, maybe I just wasn't good enough back then. You was, but you just didn't believe it. You didn't own it.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm having a look.
Should do one more?
Yeah, one more. Oh, no, don't choose. Just pick...
Just pick one.
We'll pick the last one. And I like this, because actually this probably fits quite nice, and it's from my beautiful friend Kay, Kay Wills 30, who said, what I wish I'd known is that it's always okay to ask for help and it doesn't make you a failure. And I think that ties in nicely following grief, because actually if you do feel like you need help following the loss of whatever that might be, you're not a failure for asking for support or for help. And I think that's a beautiful sentiment to end on.
I think that's totally right, and I think on that note, I think we should dig out some grief-specific support resources to put in. I know, I can't think of, I'm off the top of my head, but I know of some, so we will put those in the show notes.
Absolutely.
So thank you, guys. That was a big one. But yeah, thank you for continuing to listen. We're loving you all, supporting us so much. And, you know, rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. You know what you have to do. And, yeah, tune in next week. Thank you so, so much.
Bye.
Bye.